My heart was racing pretty good right at the start of the service, but the song service seemed to calm it down a little bit. But we'll turn our Bibles to Psalm 89 to start. I kind of had mixed emotions for a few days what to share this morning. And then I read Psalms 89, and the word faithfulness kind of stuck out to me. So we're going to be sharing a little bit on the word faithfulness this morning. And then I realized this morning, I don't know how long you guys got, but every page in the Bible talks about God's faithfulness. So we got the whole Bible to go through this morning. But, no, we'll be sharing a little bit on that. We're going to read the first five verses, then number 8, and then number 24. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in every heavens, in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, and thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. And then down to 8, Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness around about thee. And then number 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and my name shall his horn, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Now, if we read this whole chapter, we can tell that God promised David that his seed would sit on the throne forever. And his throne, that would be Jesus Christ today, right? That we have to go through. That would be his. So I just have here that God promised that David's descendants would always sit on the throne, but that if the people disobeyed God, they would be punished. Yet even through their disobedience and punishment, God would never break faith with them. Because that was a promise that he made, that they were always going to be his people, and he is faithful unto his promises. And then I guess the message is about faithfulness. So I looked up the meaning of the word faithfulness. And then I looked up the meaning of the word faith, and I discovered that you have to have faith before you can be faithful. So I'm going to read the meaning off of both of them that I come up with. It says, faith, in the King James Version of the Bible, faith is defined in Hebrews as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It signifies a firm trust, confidence, and assurance in God's promises and character. And the word faithfulness means unwavering reliability, loyalty, and trustworthiness, characterizing God's steadfast adherence to his promises and covenant. Even when humanity falls, it is an abhorrent, unchangeable attribute of God and a fruit of the Spirit required of believers, embodying firm devotion and dependability. And then I struggled for a while trying to, figure out what to share on the faithfulness of God. And then I thought of Joseph. Every story in the Bible about Joseph every happening of Joseph signifies the faithfulness of God. His coat of many colors and his two dreams And Joseph went to check on his brothers, and through that, and then they threw him in a pit. And one brother got him out, and they sold him to the. And then they sold him to the travelers going by. I mean, that was just a step into the faithfulness of God. And then Joseph, he ended up in Egypt. It says the Lord was with Joseph, and that, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and made all that he did prosper in his hands. It was not long. Joseph got thrown into prison because of a lie. But it was done for that was done because of the faithfulness of God. The king's butler and baker were soon in there, and they had each a dream. And then Joseph told them about their dream, and it happened exactly as he said. And then I think it was the baker that was it the baker or the butler, one of them that was out. He forgot about him. And then the king had a dream, and then he thought of Joseph. And then it says that I don't know how long it was, but after Joseph got back out of prison and the king had a dream, Joseph told him what it meant, and the king made Joseph in second command so that he could restore up food in the years of plenty for the years of fame. Then one day Joseph saw a group of men come to the garden and saw that it was his brother. That it was his brothers. And he put one in prison till they came back the second time with his brother Benjamin. After they came back the second time, then they moved his dad and Jacob and the family down. And I have here, it says that there were, when Jacob come down to Egypt, there was 70 to 75 people in his family. And I think, and it says from 400 to 450 years later, it says 6,000 men or 600,000 men, but they figured somehow they come up with a figure of a total of 2 million people. So in 400 and some years, there was 2 million people gained. It says, and I have wrote down here, the Israelites' journey began with a father sending his son to check on his brothers. Right away, his brothers thought they were. This was a good time to get even with Joseph because he was a dreamer, not knowing that their evil thoughts and deeds were leading them to do something to save the lives of them and their family later on. And then just thinking of the faithfulness of Moses, how his mom put him in a basket so the king would not kill him, and then he was found later, and how he could have chose a life of pleasure. Instead, he chose to let that go, and he chose to be with his people, the Israelites, and how God used Moses to lead his people. And because Moses got angry and disobeyed God, God let him see the promised land, but didn't let him enter in because of God's faithfulness to his people. Moses had prepared a young man, Joshua, to lead the Israelites on to the promised land. And then my thoughts went to Daniel, and he was captured along. He was captured along with three other young men. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not sure where Daniel was when the king put these young men in the furnace. Perhaps he was somewhere praying that they would stay faithful to God. Then not sure how much longer it was that the people got the king to put Daniel in the lion's den. I marvel at Daniel's faith that if he is faithful to God, in God's faithfulness, God would not let the lions kill him. I heard once someone speak about the heat of the furnace that these men were in, how the people saw a fourth man in the furnace. And I have heard that if we confess our sin and live for the Lord, we will not have to feel the heat of the furnace, hell, but we can be in the presence of the Lord. It says, and then there was more than 500 years from Daniel to Jesus' time. And I believe that Jesus' childhood was normal, that he had the desires of a child, yet he was sin-free. Also in his teenage years, he had the desires of a teenager, but yet he was sin-free. And also in his adult years, but yet he was sin-free. Then God did something for each person born on the earth, for me and for you. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I have over here the difference between faith and faithfulness. Faith is the internal belief, trust, and conviction in God or a promise, while faithfulness is the external active demonstration of that belief through loyalty, obedience, and consistent action. Faith is the foundation belief, and faithfulness is the fruit or evidence of that faith. In daily life, faith is like a person who has a kind of wholehearted reliance on God and will live a steadfast life. His faith will lead to faithfulness. The faithful person is one who is dependent, trustworthy, and loyal, who can be depended upon in all circumstances, and who is absolutely honest and ethical in all of his affairs. His rock-solid assurance in God is not confined to his inner man, but comes flowing out in all of life, in every one of life's decisions and responsibilities. His faith is too strong to remain hidden. And then I just have down here questions to consider. You cannot be faithful without faith. And you can't have true faith without Jesus. So do you love the truth? Are you feeding your mind with the truth of the Word? Is your faith growing with knowledge of the character and the work of God? And there's a temptation to believe that faithfulness is best proven in a way that is grand and public, yet the Bible commends faithfulness in little things and then invites opportunity to be faithful in bigger things. Don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities which may never come, but faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention. What are some of those little things in which you can prove your faithfulness today or this week? In closing, as we leave here today, remember that faithfulness isn't about being flashy. It's about being consistent in little things. And I challenge you all to choose one area of your life this week, your time, your talk, or your work, where you will commit to being more faithful. Let us be a people known not for our talent, but for our steadfastness to the calling God has placed on us as Christians. And may we be remembered for how we started the race. May we not be remembered for how we started the race, but for how we finished. Let us be found faithful in all things. I hope you were blessed with it. That's all I have, I guess. God's blessings.